O ye of little faith, you don't really expect to hear that kind of thing from Jesus. Couldn't have been very nice to hear that said to you, to be on the receiving end of that critique, O ye of little faith. You really could call it a stinging rebuke, or at least a rebuke, O ye of little faith. The truth was they were just being reasonable. They were just keeping the lid on things, just being sensible, as grounded and reasonable men and women of the world, his listeners. They know what can and cannot happen to people, how worrisome life can be. So they don't want to be naive, don't want to suspend their intellect and fall into credulity, tumble down the hill called gullibility. That hard-nosed common sense was an encouraging sign of their integrity. Grounded men and women of experience who were not easily conned, not likely to follow after illusions. So, what's the problem? Why is having little faith a problem? Because then you set the limits of the possible. Set the limits by limited human measures. It means you miss chances to introduce the divine into the equation. And as a result, little faith puts a limit on the flow of God's power. Like those people back in Nazareth that time, whose lack of faith stymied the freedom of Christ, of his spiritual power to make its difference. He shakes his head in frustration. He could do no miracle there, the Bible says, because of their unbelief. And the crunch question is this: what if that were us? What if that is us? What if he could do no miracle because of our unbelief, our little faith? I remember times in the life of my own congregations back in Scotland when that could have been a problem. Practical and spiritual pressure points, buildings needing to be fixed or to be developed. We used the stables lounge most days of most weeks eventually, but there was a time when it was just a beat up old shell of a building, and we had to wonder, did we have the nerve, the resources, the vision to make something of it, or was it beyond us? When scaffolding overshadowed our sanctuary and this task seemed daunting, were there men and women of faith among us from the past and the present who would see this through to completion? Decisions about American divinity students to be invited or not to share in the life of our congregations. 5 times we had to discover if we had faith to take on the challenge. There was a youth worker project, beginning the challenging work of building bridges between the Christian faith and a generation who will learn little about it if we refused to take initiatives to make connections. For so long it was hard to believe it would ever be more than a pipe dream. It was too much effort, too much money, too many hoops, too many forms to fill in. Would we have the faith to see the reality emerge? Every invitation offered to us to renew our spiritual life, every time the vision thing came up, what might or might be, whenever that happens, there's always the option to dismiss it, to bludgeon it into oblivion with negativity, or to follow the dream, to listen to the call, to believe. That moment we saw captured by the camera when Susan Boyle tells Simon Cowell that she wants to sing like Elaine Page, and you see the expressions on people's faces, aye, Susan Boyle, boy, that'll be right, dear. And who's laughing now? It's important for us to be asking at the start of any new phase in the life of our congregation, post-COVID, new deals with presbytery and the wider church, talks of linkages, different patterns, new demands, fresh possibilities. What might God be wanting to do with us that we are preventing by our lack of faith? Which new leaders is he looking for and going to call? What fresh initiatives in outreach and fellowship are open to us? Vincent's 4 questions. We're not talking about being gullible or irresponsible. But the logic of faith seems to work like this. If we believe little, we will achieve little. So as we consider our goals and aims for the church, our vision and our dream, how much faith do we need to bring into that discussion, into that process, and how much have we got? We don't duck the pressures. It is of its very nature that faith is demanding, emotionally straining and draining. What if we're wrong? What if it's not going to be? What if we're just imagining these things? The difference between a hesitant, timid, faithless future and one in which the church is summoned, sustained, and empowered by God, the difference lies in the trust we put in God. Without him, we simply function, take over, idle, and probably die with him, believing in him, depending on him. The future is transformed. We dare to dream. Our young people see visions. Our old people dream dreams.